Welcome to the No Direction Podcast, PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage. Remember, we con when you can't.
The time
Hello!
So this is the care and feeding of people who play, write, run, read, do games session. Yay. We had to cut some words out to make it fit the program.
I was a big fan of care and feeding of professionals.
Professionals, this is good. But the trick is, though, that it's not just professionals. It's really like anybody who does a lot of a thing.
Yeah.
And no matter what you're doing, there's this chance that it can become overwhelming. And even though we're doing it for fun, or profit, or
fun,
both,
question mark?
Fun, it can sometimes become really unfun, and
and
that bad things can happen, and there's a lot of like the world out there, and so we need to like learn how to take care of ourselves and what we can do. I thought it might be. I come from a nonprofit background where we have this ethos of like self martyrdom for the cause. And so I have learned a lot working in nonprofits about how to manage a work-life balance and maintain a sense of self and make sure that I am taking care of myself so that I can continue to do the work that I need to do in the nonprofit world. And I see a lot of the same things happening in the RPG community among freelancers. I see them happening among people like game masters, since there are definitely more players than game masters, and a lot of people who are running games are doing it because somebody has to, and not necessarily because that's what they would
rather be doing.
People who are writing games, people who work for game companies. So I sort of thought that we could like get some people together who do a lot of freelance work, bring some of the nonprofit experience, bring some of the professional company experience to talk about like sort of what we can do to be better to ourselves and help ourselves and help other people so that we can continue to love the things that we love.
It's true. Introduction?
Introductions are great.
Fabulous! I'm Liz Quartz. I am a free-range, mostly organic freelancer now. Previously, I worked at Paizo as community manager, and I was also doing moderating. Before that, I was a member of the Paizo community. I started Wayfinder and PaizoCon, and I've been a member of the Paizo.com community since 2005. Been around for a while.
So addict.
Yes, and I'm here to talk about how that can not necessarily be a good thing.
That's good. I'm Liz Liddell. You can differentiate us because we look a little bit different. She has better hair, but I have the better spelling of Liz.
It is pretty rockin', I gotta admit. But we can still form the Voltron.
We can perform the Liztron.
We need to get like Liz Spain.
And then we'll just be like the trifecta.
Could I pilot?
Yes, we need a pilot.
Right. We need a heart.
Firewall the missiles.
Yes.
All of them.
All of them.
I come from a nonprofit background working with tiny to small nonprofits in the secular free thought community, which is to say I used to be a professional atheist. So if you'd like a high stress job, that's it. I have been freelancing as an editor in the RPG industry since about 2004, and have been freelancing with Paizo and a number of other companies more recently since, I don't know, about the last 4 years.
I think I started freelancing about 2006, and I've worked for a lot of companies.
I'm Judy Bauer. I'm the managing editor of Paizo. I'm still in the learning phases of work-life balance. I was like ABD in grad school and realized that I really need things like, you know, clear and short-term deadlines and the ability to do something that you can stop at the end of the day and feel okay about. And
I still haven't found.
So I moved to freelancing from that, and I was like, and now I'm at Paizo, and I'm like trying very hard to like actually, you know, make sure that I and my team like have reasonable hours and are not completely overwhelmed, and you know, like
have lunch breaks, things like that.
Sometimes.
And,
you know, I know.
Blood sugar crashing is a thing.
Eat, just not necessarily break.
You still need to break.
I'm giving people bad advice, so I'm gonna just pause. Right now. All right, people who know, like, we're better at this thing.
I didn't say I was better. I think a valid point thing to bring up here is I have been diagnosed with a major depressive disorder as well as anxiety, both of which are terrible for trying to do any sort of like social interaction, and that includes being the GM at the game table. I like to joke that I cosplay an extrovert when I'm at a convention. And like next week, I'm just like going to be a complete hermit and not talk to anyone for a week solid. Donna Pryor, who runs OrcaCon, we had a similar table or panel at OrcaCon, and we're like, "And it's not you. It's just we need some alone time now." Recognizing that fact in myself took a lot of effort and therapy, and realizing that's okay. It's okay. It's like it's okay to have quiet alone time where it's just you and I have 3 cats and a dog, and that's fine. It gives me time to recharge and be sociable with people. How many people have heard about the spoon theory here in the room? It's also been kind of adapted for gaming to call the spell slot theory, which is basically you have a set number of spoons per day, and certain tasks take 1 or more spoons. A fantastic example for me is my hair. My hair used to be a lot longer, but dealing with my hair is one of those things for that really kind of triggered my anxiety and depression. It's like, oh, I gotta do my hair, I gotta do something with my hair. And it's like, I'm cutting it off. And it's been fabulous. I say it's like, I got one of my spoons back. it's, again, the spoon theory is certain tasks take a lot more effort than you realize, and just day-to-day stuff. And that's one of the things that's really helpful for me in going about my day is recognizing I don't have enough spoons for this, and that's okay. It's like my problem is I have like 80,000 things I want to do in a day, but realize, okay, I want to do all these things, but I know now I can only have the energy to do maybe 2 of them. So I'm going to take 2 of the spoons, do those things, and then see how I feel. It's like, do I still have enough energy to do this other thing? And that's something I do at home with my partners. It's just like I say, oh, it's like we plan out our days. Okay, we have these things that we have to do as a family. So we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this. But we're like, okay, let's do the first 2 of those and see how we feel. and just recognizing that. And having people who are supportive of you as you're trying to deal with that has been fabulous. It ties into gaming, ties into my freelance life, ties into creative life, ties into why I no longer work at Paizo. That's a lot of things.
Yeah, it's a lot of things. I'm going to pull out 3 things that you just said so we can kind of unpack them, because I think there were some of the core things that I found in this kind of work that I've been doing. One of the things you said right up front was it's okay.
Yeah.
And that's actually one that I really want to hammer home, and I think is the core of my approach to this, is that you've got to put youth first,
yeah.
and that's okay.
It's hard not thinking it's selfish.
it just feels like the most selfish thing in the world. Like, you could be out there saving kittens, or like helping homeless people, or running great games.
But how dare you take a bubble bath?
But how you take a bubble bath, right, exactly. How dare you step back? You know, the world will fall apart if you stop working. Mm-hmm. And so accepting that's okay. And self-care is not selfish. I wish I could have like a giant banner. Self-care is not selfish, because it really isn't. And the more you take care of yourself, the more effective you're going to be when you go back to those things.
Your brain takes care of your body.
Right. And your body is, you know, it's like
it's your meat puppet that keeps you moving.
Exactly. so that's a big one that I kind of want to highlight. Another one you said is getting support from
yeah.
people around
yeah.
you,
yeah.
And that's one I think I want to come back to. But the third,
really
the third one that you actually said in passing is eat.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so there's sort of things like self taking care of self, getting other people to help you take care of you, like working with other people, and then sort of like physical self care.
And it's like for me, I also have hypoglycemia. So I need to eat. The problem is I will get so involved in working on something. I pass those warning signs right into, oh crap, my blood sugar is crashing. This is not good.
So how do you deal with that? What do you do to prepare and ward against that?
The last couple of weeks have been really bad. Because I had some rush projects come up, and I'm like, gotta work on this, gotta work on this. And I'm like, So there's a couple things I do. Is I tend to have a eat a higher protein diet. I eat a lot of meat and eggs. I sound like a carnivore. but it's important that the protein, it's understanding your body and nutrition. Everybody is a little bit different. It's like they say I should drink less caffeine, but that's not going to happen. but it's like, okay, so I have my caffeine, but I also need some quick energy to just get going, and then I need the longer lasting energy. So it's like I have my cup of coffee, and I don't have sweetener in my coffee, so I eat like a piece of fruit. There's my quick energy. While I'm eating my piece of fruit, I'm making myself some bacon and eggs for the protein, for the longer lasting. And I have to eat, smaller meals more frequently. That roughly happens to coincide when I need to feed my dog. It's like, oh, we're both having lunch together, sweetie. So actually having a pet really helps with the whole feeding myself sort of thing. But it's easy to eat a lot of junk food, but junk food isn't really filling in the long run or really healthy. So eating small meals more frequently, I usually pack a protein bar in my bag. Another complicating fact for me is I also have problems with dairy. Dairy is a really quick, fast, easy to find source of protein, but unfortunately it has breath problems for me. I have a lot of issues, but it's like I should eat more frequently. It's like I try to have like a banana or like those Lunchables with the cheese and crackers and meat. Those things are fabulous for like, oh, I need a quick pick-me-up. I feel great now. That's how I do it. I don't always do so good at it.
That's the thing that I've been struggling with at work too is so
peanut butter is my friend, man.
Amazing peanut butter and oatmeal.
Peanut butter and apples is like my quick go-to because again I have my quick sugars and then I have my slower sugars with the peanut butter, so it works great.
But so. With kind of the PaizoCon run up and just like the last few weeks, and we're still have convention prep for like both this now and Gen Con coming up. Then sometimes having like 10 meetings a day for like the last couple weeks.
Oh, and we have a regular product schedule.
Yeah.
So like deadlines every few days, and and just making, because also hypoglycemia, huh? and just trying to make sure that I have things that I can grab quickly, and that if I know like I'm just gonna be in 3 hours of meeting, just like. I'm just gonna be not gonna be ashamed that I'm just sitting in this meeting having lunch.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, it's 4 o'clock and I ate breakfast at 7 and now despair.
Yeah. It'll color your entire outlook on life.
Yeah.
Life is terrible.
But just, and especially like it took me actually really into my adult life to figure out that that was a lot of parts of like emotional problems that I was having. It was just that I was not really self-monitoring my eating and my calories, making sure that I was, and just I'm getting better at it.
Yeah.
I'm listed help. I've been worried about this, and I'm like, I now a lot of my team are like, hey, your lunch, go eat that.
Thank you guys. And and support systems are great. And it's like I was sitting at home in the kitchen, my hands are shaking so bad. I literally cannot prepare my own food right now. Please help. I'm going to instruct you exactly what I want and how I want to prepare it. And he's like, okay, done. There you go. You're the best. good support systems in place are super, super, super handy.
Super handy. I think you mentioned, and I know you have cats, and I have two cats, and I think the use of our fur friends, support
fur babies,
is a really good one, but also gets into that bigger question of getting a support structure. Mm-hmm. And I'm really deliberately including our pets in that because they're
therapeutic.
They're therapeutic. They're a really big part of that. Whether that's physical reminders like, hey, my cat is pawing at me because it's 10:30 at night and he hasn't eaten yet and he's clearly starving to death.
Clearly,
even though he weighs 14 pounds. I have no idea where the food is. That's why he's trying to lead me into the bathroom where the food is. You know, so whether it's that kind of a reminder or whether it's a you know a human support structure mm-hmm. or a combination of the both. I mean, a combination of the both is really great. You know, learn how. Look for opportunities to capitalize on that in a way that helps you. You know, if you are, if you are feeling crappy and you don't have an in-person support structure, but you've got a great base of supportive people on Facebook, you know, throw a thing out there like, hey guys, I'm having a crappy day. Post me a picture of some cats.
Or share me some cute pictures.
Share me some cute pictures, or like, tell me something good that's going on in the world. Yeah. I've seen a couple actually lately that I found really, really inspiring. Like. You know,
tell me something positive in your life.
What's happening to you right now that made you smile? Or, you know, what's...
Yeah, mine was, I had sushi.
I had sushi.
And it was really good. They had, like, this... It was, like, a tempura shrimp roll. It was, like, it had, like, the spicy tuna stuff. I thought, oh, so good.
and so it's, like, not only, like... Because then you get to see all of these things that are going, you know, reminds you that there's good in the world. And you're helping other people also do that. Other people will see that there's good stuff happening. And then you've got 25 comments on your Facebook post about people who've had, you know, just little good things happening.
I'm finding that pictures of my... I have a French bulldog puppy. And he's ridiculously cute, and it makes everybody happy when they see pictures of him because he's so derpy. but yeah, I also have a very aggressively cuddly cat, but only on her terms. She will
just the office manager.
Yeah, the office manager.
Yeah.
She will come in and like she will jump on my chest and headbutt me hard enough to knock my glasses off, which is and she covers my face so I can't actually look at the computer monitor anymore. So it's like you will be petting me now, and it's like oh, I guess I could use a break. Thanks. Thank you for reminding me, Domino. You're the best.
You have like physical coworkers in your space. How can you leverage that to help?
Yeah. Do they headbutt you too?
Only two.
Mostly no. I think that's actually my role more than anybody else. Like not my cute mates, but sometimes other people in companies. Like where are your words? no, but that like yeah, just having other people. Around to because in addition to not being always great at self-monitoring my calorie intake food I'm pretty okay at recognizing when other people are upset and need a break. I'm often not good at that about myself, so it's been kind of
I find it easier to help somebody else out than myself.
You may have heard through various grapevines, so like Wesley Schneider, my boss, just like left Paizo, like he's doing a like awesome video game writing stuff. Like it's super cool, and I'm so happy. You know, like we're all
I'm super
excited.
Happy for him, but I'm super like, stressed out now.
And you know, so like yeah, partly like oh okay, so you know, like and now like all the you know the job various job parts are flowing in different directions, and we're like trying to figure out what. What are all the six jobs that Wes did? Because so he just made things happen invisibly, and they're just like, oh, magic! That you know, surely it's a, you know that just happens. And just also like, you know, he was the person who gave me a chance when I was not at all in the RPG industry, and he's just like, yeah, you should come and work with us. You'll be great. And just has been like super supportive and just like, kind of.
That is now your role.
I am having sad feelings because this is somebody supportive in my life who's now you know like I mean several blocks away uphill. You know something like hey can we get lunch later this week but it's just like it's kind of a turn you know like I'm standing over to the dramatic saying like traumatic change but it's like it's a big change that just kind of like takes up all the process. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's been really great to have people check in and be like, hey, do you need things? Hey, can I take things off your plate? Mm-hmm. Do you need things? Do you just need to walk around the building once or twice?
Do you want to go to coffee? I think we could all use some coffee. Yeah. Let me get some ice cream from Crew. That sounds like a good idea.
Can we do this?
You should.
Sure, there's good ice cream out here. We have great ice cream in Ohio, so I need to find out how the Seattle ice cream
is. Oh, it's pretty great. There's a Molly Moon's downtown.
That's what I hear.
You should do that.
Here they have rhubarb cardamom.
So I guess related to that note is I work from home now. I'm literally the hermit in the woods now, which is not great. I mean, it's great. I walk out my back door to my studio, but it also kind of kills my social interaction a bit. But I've made an effort to, like, you know, once a week I go have coffee with Sarah Murray, who, you know, customer service manager, and you know, we catch up, and I was like, oh, peopling. I remember peopling. This is great. And it also gives me a chance to get out of the house running and blah 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 blah. I did that, but that is also self-care, and the seeing people is really good for your state of mind. Seeing people seeing people who care about you, also having a cup of coffee with them, it's really good for you, turns out. So I also have a regular game. Sundays are for gaming, no matter the game. Whether it's, you know, playing Breath of the Wild, or playing my Bard Blood Rager in Curse of the Crimson Throne, or I'm running Iron Gods, it's that regular social interaction with my friends is super important to the care of being part.
Yeah. So. Let's talk a little bit about the people who don't help.
Oh,
like when you've got, help. You know, if you've got that guy, or if you've got you know, someone who is not helping your situation, how do you deal with that?
First of all, I don't spend time with people that I don't want to spend. That, like, if you are wasting my time, I don't spend time. It's like, I don't have time for that. On internet spaces, I block, you know, or leave spaces that have that kind of behavior, because my boundaries are super important to me, and as I become more aware of my own mental health and how other people affect my mental health, I'm much more willing to block them or cut them out of my life, because I don't need that negativity. I don't need that toxicity. I have better things to do with my time than be wrapped up in someone else's drama.
And I think that's one that hits women really particularly hard, because we're sort of expected to
deal
be available, to be, you know, to be responsive, you know, that we have an obligation to answer when someone calls us out or tries to engage.
To deal with somebody else's emotional labor.
Exactly.
And I ain't got time for that.
And we, and so, you know, back to the big, like, self-care is not selfish.
Boundaries do not make you selfish.
Boundaries are not a selfish thing. They're, you know, if it helps you to reframe them as time management, like, are you being paid to be somebody's emotional counselor on Facebook?
No,
probably not. If you are, awesome. That's a sweet gig. Good for you.
Yeah, you can request money through Facebook Messenger. Just saying.
But you know, that's feel free to frame that as work. It is absolutely work. You know, how much do psychologists get paid and counselors? So
I don't know. Mine was covered by my insurance.
That's
so. I mean, related to that, look at your insurance and see that covers, because you might find that it covers all kinds of care that you did not, you know,
for a while
on your radar.
I had when I was on Paizo's insurance, I had a $250 for a year, but all of my visits were free.
Yeah.
I had no copay. So I'm like, once a week, I'm doing this. And getting to that point was super, super hard and stressful and awful. And I coped with video games and bourbon. But the therapy was amazing, and a lot of people have a problem with the whole going to therapy. It's like, why would a stranger, you know, care about what's going on in my life? Well, it's like, because they are a stranger. They have no connection to your personal life. They have no connection to your work life. They can offer you... They have no skin in that game. They can offer you objectivity, and that is what you need in order to start dealing with some whatever issues you may have going to see them. They can offer you objectivity and new perspectives on how to look at these issues in your life. And I heartily recommend it.
And even beyond mental, just like pure physical health. Like,
yeah.
You know what, like if you get a free physical care a year, like, you know, take advantage of that. Make sure that you're healthy and that you are, you know, are you being active?
I guess you not like the insurance, yeah. Like, but so I have a terrible commute, which is Seattle to Redmond, which is about, if on the bus, 45 minutes if I'm extremely lucky, in other words, an hour and 15 minutes each way. So I try, like, but I can do a combined, like, bus and bike commute, because I, like, and which has been, like, really just great for me, because otherwise, like, one, I will never go to the gym otherwise, because lazy. And just, you know, it seems like, it feels like one more thing after I've already, you know, had it, like, an 8
Again,
to 12 hour day,
foods.
Plus, you know, like an hour and a half, like 2.5 hours on the bus so far. Mm-hmm. But also then, you know, I, you know, have some energy, on, like, get all that energy on my way to work, and, like, you know, just feel much more positive mm-hmm. about the day when I get there, mm-hmm. which, and then, you know, on the way home, have a bunch of decompression on the way home, mm-hmm. and, you know, like, turns out also better for my relationships both, so better for my relationship both at work and at home to have that kind of decompression time at the end of the day, and, you know, fresh air and vitamin D, and...
Yeah, get back here.
No. Today, maybe. 6 months of the year.
6 months of the year.
Rationed.
Yeah. So related to the therapy and exercise, if you can't make your own neurotransmitters, a store-bought is fine. I'm just going to say that right now off the top. If you need medication to handle your anxiety or depression or whatever mental health issues you may have.
Or physical health issues.
Or physical health issues. I have to take 7,500 IU of vitamin D a day. But it is a lot. It's the level of, is it okay for me taking this high level of vitamin D? Like, yeah, it's fine. But I sleep now. It's great. And it's okay to be on medication to handle things. Because it's not a crutch. I have had this argument with myself a lot, especially when I started taking it. It's not a crutch. It helps you. It helps you do the things you want to do every day. Because for me, my depression usually involved apathy, just not wanting to do anything, and also insomnia. So apathy and insomnia, and then, you know, heaping dose of anxiety on top of it. It was terrible. No, it was not. It was terrible. And it took me a long point to get to that, okay, maybe I need medication to help me with this. And I started taking the medication. I started feeling a bit more like myself. And I'm like, why did I ever wait this long to take medication? This is dumb. But it's not something you should ever go cold turkey on and stop taking it, because it will do terrible things to your mood, if not worse. I mean, those warnings are no joke. Again, with the healthcare system being kind of weird and bizarre. I'm on, you know, AppleCare, which is like our state Medicaid, and there was a brief period where I didn't have my anxiety meds and had to, unfortunately, go cold turkey off of them. It's the worst 3 days of my recently in my life, because I was just so mood swingy and emotional, and just, it was terrible. And then I couldn't sleep on top of all of it, so it's bad news. But yeah, medication to help you is not terrible. It's not a crutch. You are not a lesser person for it. You are not a weaker person for having it in your life. I'll get that out of the way.
It's like food.
Yeah,
like
it's food.
Sometimes you just need stuff to run.
Yeah. Sometimes you just need fuel to run. And my problem is I was using, when I was younger, I used food as an emotional bomb to help me with going on in my life, because at the time I didn't have therapy. I didn't know that depression and anxiety were actually an always omnipresent thing in my life. I was like, oh, this isn't normal. And learning that, no, that's not normal, is kind of revelatory. So I would use food as an emotional balm, and, you know, this is why I have, you know, lower weight. But food is delicious.
Food is delicious.
Food is delicious, and also it's okay, because I use food as like a self-care sort of thing. It's like, today I'm going to have ice cream. I'm going to have real ice cream, because again, I shouldn't have dairy. But today I'm going to have a Molly Moon's ice cream. And it's going to hurt so much later, but it's going to be damn tasty. And that's okay, you know, it's moderating your choices to kind of help you kind of cope. I mean, I went and got my hair done, obviously bright shiny colors, and again, that helps with some of my ongoing body image issues, doing cool things with my hair, because I never could have gotten away with it as a kid, because I was with my grandmother, and my grandmother had very specific views of what, you know, a woman should look like, or a girl should look like, and that was just like, my hair is bright and shiny, there's nothing you can do about it. So,
So one of the things you said that I think a lot of us run into who are in things like nonprofits or freelance work,
gaming
and
entertainment.
Is sort of like the apathy, burnout, like mm-hmm. self-motivation question. Mm-hmm. And so you mentioned that as a side effect of depression. That's a very real mm-hmm. issue to deal with. But like, you know, we also deal with sort of day-to-day, like staying on track, right. meeting deadlines, you know, keeping yourself motivated, doing the thing you really don't want to do. How do you do it?
So I guess one of the things that I try to do for myself is to make sure that I always get to do at least a little bit of editing, like actual editing, which luckily my management is also very supportive. Like, it turns out when we, you know, take people who are editors and developers and make them, you know, like full-time managers, you know, like one, maybe like that's kind of terrifying and weird and stressful, and like you're managing often your friends, and that's
that can be that's stressful in its own way.
But also, like, you know, you probably didn't get into the game industry to become a manager.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe those people, oh my gosh, they are amazing, because you know, we need them and need like people with that kind of actual professional experience are like what makes companies successful, and then you can pay your bills and that's mm-hmm. life is better.
Same thing works in nonprofits.
Yeah, right.
And paycheck is a great motivator for me.
But you know, like, so making sure that I still get to do the parts of like
why you got
my
industry
global
in the first
job
place.
That you know is why I'm into, like, yeah, why I got into it, and also talking to my management about like, hey, this is actually what I want out of my job, you know, these are the things that I need, and then also like talking to the people that I am managing to, like, so what do you want to do? Like, what's going to keep you from burning out? Because turns out, you know, if you just decide you hate your job and you're like, you're done, that sure makes my life more stressful to you. quite aside from the fact that, you know, they are people that I like and want to, you know,
want to
have good
succeed
and happy lives,
yeah.
and, you know, like, they're friends. Like, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of, like, you know, seeing that, like, there's nothing zero-sum about this. It's just lots of summing. The better you take care of yourself, the better you're probably making, you know, the environment for those around you.
For me, again, I'm a full-time freelancer. The thing that keeps me going is, oh, I get paid at the end. It's real, it's true, but I also, it's a reminder for me to, this is what I wanted to do with my life. You know, since I was a teenager, it was like, I wanted to do art, I wanted to create, and that's what I'm doing. I mostly do freelance layout and graphic design and cartography and art. And I also had like an IT background, so I also have a little bit of technical background as well. And for graphic design and layout, it's like, I'm taking somebody's raw words and turning it into something pretty. And that's very satisfying to me to do that, and you know, accompany it with all the cool art that I get to work with, get inspired, and in turn get inspired myself by the words that I'm reading, because I can't help but read it when I'm doing Leia, and all the art that I have as well. It's very inspirational to me. It's like, it makes me want to create my own stuff as well, which I can then turn around and do with the cartography assignments I get and the art that I want to do. So it's the work that I'm doing is feeding into my own creative needs, and that's the thing. It's like, I'm at a point where it's like, no, I need to create art in some way every day for me to be happy.
My situation is interesting because I'm full-time, and I have set more or less set hours, but I work remotely and I work from home. And so it's a situation that is very difficult for a lot of people. You know, how do I not just like hang around in my pajamas and pet my cats and watch Facebook all day?
Two out of the three is perfectly reasonable.
I always wear pants.
It gets a little cold at my studio sometimes. So I don't get distracted because my workspace is physically separated from my leisure space. It's like, when I'm in here, I'm here to work. I also have video games on my computer, but I forget that I have them half the time. He's like, no, I'm here to work. I'm here to use InDesign. And I crashed again. open up a gate and keep going.
And I have a separate workspace that's dedicated for work.
Because you can write it off that way.
This is true. I can. but more because that's what keeps me focused. And I'm, like, habits are my tools of miracles. I'm just a creature of habit. When I sit down at my desk and log into this, you know, the company chat and open my email, I am at work. And it does not matter that I am 3,700 miles away from my coworkers. I am at work.
Yep,
and I am, and so that's, you know, I'm a professional, this is what I do, they're paying me, and so, you know, so I wouldn't sit around on Facebook if I were in the office, and part of it is I know even if I were in the office, like, that might be okay for some of the time, but because I don't have the habit of ever doing it, I don't ever find myself on Facebook. Every once in a great while, because I need to figure out how something works in the real world to model it in a game, I find myself and like, how did I end up here on Wikipedia? the majority of the time, you know, I just, because I have harnessed those habits and built those habits for myself, they have been hugely helpful in keeping, in helping me back. You know, yes, I have to invest the time in this, into building those systems, but the payoff has been, for me, is tremendous.
For me, it's really easy to get distracted by social media, because social media for me is a way of self-promotion.
Right, exactly, that's very true.
So it's easy to get distracted by it, but it's like, if I find myself keep getting distracted and keep being distracted, and like, there is something about this project that's actually making it easier for me to get distracted by. So it's like, again, I have a studio space. I do a lot of work on the computer, but I also have a lot of like physical workspace to go work on a project. And I find that going and working on something else for a little bit and then coming back to my computer will help me figure out whatever problem I was having on this piece that I was working on, and, you know, noodle my way through a problem. I get back to it, I'm like, okay, I know what's bugging me about this. I come back with fresh eyes, fix, and now it's 2 a.m.
And probably forgot to eat.
But fortunately, again, I have people who come in and check on me at home when they're home from work, and they bring me like a cup of coffee or something to drink, or, you know, here, I brought you a bowl of your favorite cereal. Oh, by the way, here's the dog too. He missed you.
Here's the dog.
And he's, the dog's always happy to see me.
Having a tiny place where I don't really like. There is not a dedicated workspace. Like, we have two rooms, and two people, and two cats. And, because Seattle. So I try really hard to not bring work home. I'm fortunate that I also, you know, I have the privilege that I work where it is, like, so Paizo actually weirdly edits on paper, like, marking up hard copy, your little proofreading marks and your carrots and all of that.
Red ink everywhere.
Everywhere. Hopefully not. But since I have a long commute, when I'm not doing my therapy biking, I can do, you know, I can actually, like, if I have stuff that I would otherwise need to be taking home, can sometimes, like, squeeze some of that in on the bus and then just, like, be home and be done, which is kind of, like, a relief. If I do try to work from home,
I can't.
It's not, you know, it's tough, and I have cats that try to lie on my lap on my laptop, and or just on, you know, one on each hand.
And then, you're not working.
It's kind of that weird balance there, where, like, on the one hand, if I am taking work home, I'm certainly less irritated about that fact if there's, you know,
a cat.
There's a cat right there, and I'm just like, oh. Heading, editing things, you know, like, because you don't really want to be, like, ripping through somebody else's words from a place of rage.
Yeah.
That's not good for anyone. It's like, it takes a lot of self-discipline, and I'm just trying to, like, make my, you know, arrange my life and my colleagues' lives in ways where we don't actually need to.
It's good to have that work-life balance.
Yeah,
it's super hard. Boundaries are super hard.
So what are some of the things that, you know, you're here, clearly, so you have things that you are interested in self-caring. What are, like, either some questions you have or some challenges that you've had in this area?
So when I'm GMing games, I tend to get really excited about an idea or a concept, and I'll write days about it. Mm-hmm. But then as time goes along, I burn myself out really quickly, and then ask, how do you guys deal with, like, burnout in the sense of creativity?
It's great for you. Yeah. Lots of experience with this. So, as a GM, it is easy to build these vast worlds, but your players are never going to see 99% of that. So it's easier to say, okay, it's the hook, line, and sinker approach, or a trick that I learned from a veteran GM is, okay, so you have a good beginning bit for your players. Plot out a couple of middle points and a variety of endings, but don't really go beyond any part of that. It's, again, your time management.
Yeah.
If you limit yourself to a couple of things, you're not going to get burned out. And it's easy to get real burned out, especially when you're like excited. But you have to kind of like, again, I want to do all these things, but I can only really do maybe two of them. It's like I want to spend the next 8 hours writing all these cool ideas and coming up with characters and here in Hero Land, making all these. And it's like, okay, maybe not do all that. Just kind of learn to limit yourself. That way you don't use all of your energy reserves doing all these things.
Yeah, because I tend to find myself in a loop in about 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, oh, I'm tired of this game now. You know, but I have this great idea for a new game. I'll write in about a month.
Save your notes.
Yeah.
There was a good time period. It's like every time I came up with an idea, or for me, it's like I had a decent commute home, or I'd be like, you know, moderating the message boards, and I had like a random out of the blue idea. I'm like, oh, that'd be really cool. I would write that idea down. In Evernote, Google Keep, Trello, whatever, some sort of like digital bookmarking idea note system.
Paper works too.
Paper.
If you still like paper.
I type a lot on my computer.
I have like a bullet journal kind of set up that I keep all that kind of stuff in, and it's like, I'm going to put that idea down because I don't want to lose that creativity. And I come back to it, I'm like, then you get inspired and you go, oh yeah, I'm going to do that.
That was cool.
I have lists and lists and lists of ideas. And the thing is, you'll have more ideas than you'll ever have time to do all of them. And when you just write down like that moment of inspiration, you can come back to that and be able to flesh it out better instead of just burning through it all at once. So it's tempering that creativity. And that is more than anything, that's the trick to, you know, people saying, well, my muse isn't with me, that kind of thing. If you're a professional, you don't have time to wait around for your muse to show up. It was a Hemingway or somebody like that. It's like that muse is sitting there with me 9 a.m. every day. It's not burning out all of your energy on a particular topic at a particular time and saying, I'm going to write that idea down and I'm going to get back to it. But right now, I'm working on this other idea. Because it's really easy to come up with 20 other ideas when you're working on one thing. And it's like, that's great, but I'm not working on that right now. Gotta stay focused.
Another thing that sort of resonated with me about your situation, you're like 3 to 6 months and you're working with, presumably with players because you're running something.
Yeah.
You know, sit down and brainstorm with your players, like tap their, what are they excited about? What do they want to see more of? What's exciting them about the setting? And, you know, if nobody's really feeling it, like, it's totally also okay to just move on. Like, heck, that's cool.
Were you in the PvP, the gaming table? Okay. And again, it's giving players a moment to shine. And one of the tricks I do to kind of fuel my own creativity, as well as perhaps the players, is do the little character questionnaire at the beginning of the game session. Ask the players something about their character to get them interested, and then the GM as something for you to, like, I'm going to create this backstory for them to actually build upon and get invested and build upon this thing with them. And that's like a checklist for you.
Yeah.
But it's also a point of interest for them, and that way you guys can build something together, which is super motivating.
Hey,
turns out.
Also, it's like what gaming's about.
Whoa!
And because, you know, I get excited if my players get excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you feed upon each other, and that's great. I mean, that's kind of it. Gaming at its heart is interactive storytelling, right? You just happen to adjudicate dice in a character sheet. And that's why we're here doing this.
Kind of the more things you have, like ideas that you have, maybe like partly thought out, maybe just like a sentence or two, just in sitting in the bank.
Yeah.
Especially if there are things that tie in with your characters, the more that, like, if something gets slow or something, you can just, or you just have that moment where, like, oh, it actually make a lot of sense to go in this direction. Of like, and zing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we're going
to it.
Off the rails.
Yeah. Sometimes it's way funner than the rails.
Yep. Other challenges, questions, thoughts, ideas?
So, what about the, did you have to change sort of your lifestyle expectations as you moved from full-time to freelance or from other industries into
Yes. yes. So, I mean, among other things, I went from working in an office with other human beings to not. I took a pretty substantial pay cut. And so, you know, and this is really funny. I'm going to, like, go a little bit off on a tangent. Because my work schedule is different now, I live in East Coast time and I work in late West Coast hours. I don't cook food for myself anymore. I have a great kitchen. I love cooking. I love making food. And I work noon to eight. And so I don't have, you know, it used to be when I got home at 5:30 and I could, like, you know, spend an hour making a really awesome meal and, like, go to the market and get the vegetables and, like, really, and I don't do that anymore.
No, it's
and
so, bachelor chow. By bachelor chow, I mean Siri.
I'm in Midwest, I'd make casseroles, but, like, you know, we'll have the lasagna for this week. This week is lasagna week. Okay, this week we have rice bowls. Here's the stuff. Put it together when you're hungry.
Here's your protein, here's your veggies, and the rice cookers over there.
And the rice cookers over there, yeah. And so you know, that has been a huge change for me. It's just sort of like a totally unexpected change. But yeah, it's been massive. You know, we've had to really, like, cut, you know, our budget has gotten a lot tighter and I've had to really, like, make some hard decisions about what we're doing. You know, we're watching the changes to the Affordable Care Act really carefully.
Yes. Yeah, I would not have gone a full-time freelancer if I had known that was being paid jeopardy.
Yeah.
Because I like having my health care and I like not having to pay for my, my neurotransmitters.
So, but yeah, I mean, it is a change, and I think if that's something you're looking at doing, you just do as much homework as you can to see what is going to change and be ready to be flexible, and recognize that it's going to be a transition, and change can be a little rough.
If anything, pay off as much as your debts as possible before
you do that.
For me, I have a background in IT. Before I worked in Paizo, I was a network administrator, system administrator, website administrator, programmer. I did it all because I worked for a small company. Obviously, the pay at a game company is not anything like it is in IT. But for me, it was never about the money. It was about being happy at the job that I had. So I went from, you know, admittedly incredibly low wage for what I was doing in IT to working customer service at a game company. Now let me tell you, it was quite a shift. it kind of forces you to really re-examine what exactly is important, you know, in my life as far as what I spend my money on. And to this day, my biggest expenses are food. Because I like to eat, I like to eat well. I like to go out to eat and socialize and you know, and eat good food and it's one of my favorite things in life. And you kind of really re-examine, it's like, what is important to you of, you know, how am I going to choose to spend the money that I have and what am I going to spend it on? I spend my money on art supplies, food, and probably dog and cat.
pretty just swap out like art supplies for music supplies.
Again, it's like I chose to be a creative in a field where I get to use and justify my art supplies, which turns out it worked pretty great. Again, I wouldn't have made that jump to being a full time freelancer if I didn't have the support of the people I live with, because I'm basically at this point living rent free until I get, you know, some steady income, and that is the danger of the freelancer life is it is feast or famine, and if you cannot budget and you cannot be on that famine side for a while, don't do it. but on the same note, it is no shame to also have a part time job. It's like you got to pay your bills, and if you're like doing the barista gig down at Starbucks, there's nothing wrong with that.
Starbucks is one of the best jobs I've ever had, and I have had some sweet flipping jobs. And it's my plan B. Like, if the Affordable Care Act goes down the toilet and I can't do what I'm doing anymore, I'm gonna go back to Starbucks and I'm gonna make coffee and I'm gonna keep freelancing.
And for me, it's like if I was gonna do a part time job, I need to, because I couldn't. So the reason I went to full time freelance was I need the time to work on the projects I want to work on, my art, because it's incredibly fulfilling for me. And again, it's not about the money, but it needs to be about the money, because money can be exchanged for goods and services. it's like I would need a part-time job that allowed me the freedom to continue to produce art, because that is very necessary for my being. and again, that is one of those self-care things. Like, I recognize this in myself. I need to give my space, I give myself the space, physically, mentally, and otherwise, the ability to do that. And it's like, yeah, it's like, I used to do hotel housekeeping, and that's like my, it's a terrible job, but it's like, you know what? I was in high school, as a high school senior, I had no other expenses, so it was all like, this is all gaming book money. It's fantastic.
Yep. Jobs are jobs.
Jobs are jobs, man.
My alarm went off telling me that actually that Judy needs to turn her phone back on because the session is over.
Okay.
But that was also a good reminder. If we have any last comments we want to say.
Questions, comments, any say dirty secrets, but I don't really have any
secrets.
One of my best coping mechanisms when I was in the midst of like some really heavy duty therapy and it was awful and terrible and kind of uncovering all those uncomfortable things was I would go home, I would go to work. I would take my time getting to work in the morning, just like, I'm going to go have a donut and coffee. And then later that night, after the work day was done, I would get in my dinosaur onesie, because I have like a dinosaur kangaroo, and I would get my glass of bourbon, and I would play Mass Effect all night. That was my coping mechanism, because I told myself, okay, if Commander Shepard can get through this, then so can I.
I'm actually going to my parting words, sleep.
Sleep,
oh my
super
God.
Important.
Do not neglect
your sleep hygiene. One of the first things I did when I stopped having to go to wake up at a particular time was and be somewhere at a particular time, I turned my alarm clock off. And it has been glorious. It's like I go to sleep when I'm tired and I wake up when I am not tired. And that's been fabulous. It's like I feel so much more rested now. It's pretty great. And one of my problems when I was had the depression was I was also an insomniac. And because also I would just lay there in bed and my brain would just be like ruminate, and it would spin up and think about things, and it's terrible.
Joe's kicking us out.
Oh no! Yeah.
Joe.
Yes.
You should talk to your Joe.
I will, and I'll thank him. Yeah. But so, but how do you think? I guess one thing is just
self-care. Self-care is very important.
Make sure, like, if you're like, I have a lot of moderate habits, that's fine, you know, like, they help me cope. Make sure they're actually moderate.
Yes.
Kind of, like, it turns out if you are a person who is a social drinker and you go out every night, you know, like, that can add up.
Yep.
You are,
you know,
like,
moderate.
You know, make sure that things that you are doing, like, now and then for comforting don't become, like, necessarily all the
crutch.
All the time things.
An actual crutch.
Like,
actual crutch,
you know,
yeah.
Like, that's so just.
Yeah.
Treat yourself kindly.
Yes.
And
yeah. We only have one flesh puppet. So I mean, be good
and
to
especially
it.
Like if other people are concerned about you,
yeah.
They are probably right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Be concerned about yourself even when you think you're doing okay.
Mm-hmm. So it's like really it's good to have friends that go, are you doing okay?
Are you doing okay?
And it's again, this is one of the reasons I have my weekly coffee with Sarah. It's like it's kind of like a self-assessment and a kind of like we talk to each other about what's going on in our life and it's like, are you doing okay? Are you doing okay? And you just kind of go back and forth like, how are you doing? And it's kind of like, it kind of gives you a moment to go, I'm actually doing okay. And that is one of the most satisfying things to say to yourself. It's like, I'm doing okay. And it's like, you don't have to be doing great.
Squirrel also doing okay.
Yeah. Either that or he's telling us to get out of the room.
Alright.
My girl was next.
Yeah.
Alright, let's do it.
Yeah.
We'll be around. I love talking about this stuff, so
yeah.
Feel free to come harass me. I would love to talk about it.
Thank you for joining us for another edition of the No Direction Podcast PaizoCon 2017 seminar coverage, made possible with the help of Justin Sluder and Ryan Hiller of Geek Dad. To find more great Pathfinder audio, go to No Direction Podcast.